It is so good to see all of you tonight, because I love seeing all your faces, because you really are our Baltimore family, and that moved from Baltimore into our hearts, and you are really part of my family, our family. And so I'm so excited to be here with you tonight and to share the word with you and to be in God's presence with you. And so I want to start by reading to you Proverbs 12:25 says, "Worry, anxiety, fear, heaviness, and sorrow weigh a person down, but an encouraging word cheers a person up." So I'm hoping that tonight, with God's grace, that I can bring you an encouraging word to lift you up. So I thought, by also part of introduction, I want to tell you a story, because what I want to talk about with you tonight is fear, anxiety, and worry. And so I want to be clear about which kind of fear I am talking about. I was watching the news several years ago and saw this news story, and you could see it from a helicopter. They had the cameras pointed down, and there was some small town somewhere in middle of America where a bear had decided to wander through the streets. And he was actually going down Main Street, and the police were waiting for animal control to come with a tranquilizer to get him down and take him out of the city or out of the town. But until then, they were clearing the streets and telling people, "Go down the side street, the bear's coming this way." And so you could see this kind of chaos of people moving away from the bear. And then what you see is this guy on his cell phone walking down the street with his head down, not hearing the helicopter overhead, not hearing the police on their megaphone, on his cell phone, walking straight to the bear. And so you can see the bear's coming down the street, and they're going to intersect on the corner. And sure enough, right as he gets about 2 feet, this is all from the camera, right as he gets about 2 feet from the bear, he looks up from his phone, and there's a bear right there. And his arms fly up in the air, and he turns and runs the other direction. So that's not the kind of fear I'm talking about tonight. Not the fear of bears, not the fight or flight thing. I'm talking about fear that comes with anxiousness and worry, and the kind that comes up when memories come back to mind, or the thing that you go to sleep at night thinking about and you wake up first thing in the morning remembering it. That's the kind of fear and anxiety and worry that I want to talk to you about tonight. So let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you are so gracious to allow us to have a taste of your presence tonight. You are so good and abounding in grace and mercy, and so full of endless love. And I just pray that your presence would continue to be felt tonight. I ask that you would help my lips to say what you want to be said. I pray that you would help us all to hear something directly from you tonight, and that each of us would be changed tonight when we leave, changed by your presence, changed by the power of your word. I just ask and speak a blessing over everyone this week in your name. Amen. Amen. So for me, this is also a personal message, because fear is something that I dealt with a lot growing up. And it came in a lot of different forms and a lot of different ways. And but when thinking about this, there was three particular things that really were hurdles that I had to overcome, and to this day sometimes still work on it. The first one was, and this was an irrational fear, and I'll explain what I mean by that. The first one was that I really, really struggled with kind of that face-to-face dealing with fear was when I was 3 days after I turned, or sorry, 3 days before I turned 16, we landed in Uganda, East Africa. I was there with my parents, and the first, I think, 7 months that we lived there, we lived on a compound because we lived within city limits. We couldn't go outside once the sun went down, and we actually had a very high wall and hedge around our compound. And while I was there, I had this fear of AIDS and illness. And Uganda is the place that they think possibly AIDS started. And so we also had family friends there that his job was to come and study AIDS. And so I had a lot of facts that were thrown around, but also, you know, kind of hearing the terror of what was taking over the country. And so, but it was irrational, because I knew how AIDS was spread. I knew that I was okay, in my logical mental mind, I knew that. But it was irrational because we even had a woman on our compound that had AIDS. And I worked side by side with her. I was friends with her. It didn't bother me when I was around her. But at night, this feeling would come over me of, I'm afraid. What happens? What if I get it? And it was irrational because it wasn't true. It wasn't a real fear. It wasn't something that I should be afraid of. And really, I should have been afraid of the bullets that were being shot through our compound. Whoa, but I was not afraid about that. So if that tells you that it was irrational. So the second thing was fear of being alone and fear of being afraid of the unknown, kind of at the same time, a little bit like what Daniel said tonight. But it really hit me hardest when, before Charlotte was born and Ben was traveling. And I would stay up at night watching TV or reading until I was so exhausted that I knew as soon as I went to bed, I would fall asleep out of pure exhaustion. Because if I turned off the TV and stopped reading or doing something before that point of exhaustion, fear would just overcome me. And so I would do whatever I could to occupy that. And then the third thing was finances. This has always been a thing for me because I am a saver. And so finances was a big thing. And you know, some of you have heard me say this before, that we got to a point in our marriage where 1 month we couldn't pay our mortgage. We couldn't pay any of the utilities or any of the bills that we really needed to pay. And Ben was traveling. And so I had to make the phone calls and tell all the people, hey, we can't do this. And so even to this day, sometimes things will come up where it's financial and I'll just get this, you know, it's what's going to happen, you know? And so those were for me, the three specific, very strong times where fear would come in and take over my life. So let's go back to the very beginning, before Genesis even. So God, Yahweh, existed before everything that we know existed. He was here. He's the creator. He made everything. And he knew before he created man that we were going to fail. And so before that point, he set into a plan to redeem people, that all the world would be saved. That's a big plan. That's a lot of people. And Psalms 62:11 says, all power is God's. Job talks about the thunder of his power. Yeah. And Jeremiah 10:12 says, the Lord made the earth by his power. He stretched out the heavens. Yeah. And Psalms 145:3 says, no one can measure his greatness. Yeah. God can do anything he wants, and he can show up into your life at any point that he wants to, and you let him. Yeah. So let's go a little deeper. 1 John 4:8 says, God is love. And it goes on to say that perfect love casts out fear. So if God is love and love casts out fear, God is not afraid. He cannot be afraid because he is love. So there is no fear in him. But what about us? So Genesis 5:1 says that when God created us, he created us in his image. That means without sin. That means without fear. That means that we were created to live in peace and joy and harmony. So it means, yes, we were originally created to be sinless, but we were also created to be without fear. But then something happened, right? Somewhere along the way, we stumbled, we lost our ability to trust in God and what he said, and we see Adam and Eve sin against God, and then the relationship is broken. Because before that event happened, God used to come down. I love this picture. God used to come down and walk with Adam and Eve in the garden. And they would talk. And they would spend time with each other. And, you know, we kind of read the Bible like we would a novel where there's a timeline to it. But how long were Adam and Eve really in the garden? They could have been there thousands, millions of years before that happened. We don't know. Having this relational, one-on-one, beautiful thing with God in peace and joy. And then they chose to sin. And so then we see in Genesis that the curse came, right? We have to work. We're separated from God. The pains of labor. Thank you, Adam and Eve. And so it says in Genesis 3 that when Adam and Eve sinned, God came looking for them. God didn't run away. He didn't, "Oh, I'm done." He came and looked for them, and he said, "Where are you?" And Adam replied, "I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked." And that's where we see the first instance of the word afraid or fear or worry or anxiousness is right there. And so this is, I looked it up, and it kind of means like fear of a principal or fear of consequences, like, you know, go to the principal's office, and kind of that fear that you have. But then it goes on to say, so after this separation, it says in Genesis 5:3, when Adam was 130 years old, it's amazing, he became the father of a son who was just like him, in Adam's very image. So this new person that came into the earth was no longer created in identical standpoint, in the identical image of God. Something happened, and now this new person is created in the image of Adam. And so instead of being created without sin and without fear, Adam's image got altered when sin entered. And so now their children are born into the image of Adam, which means sin and fear. So what does fear do to us? I'm just going to list some. There's a lot of things, but I'm just going to list some of the first ones that came to me when I was thinking about it. The first one is, it keeps us from God. Okay, so God is love, and perfect love casts out fear. So if there's more fear, there's less God. But the reverse is, if there's more God, there's less fear. Right? So fear keeps us from God. Fear keeps us in a negative thinking cycle. You know, where that, like I was saying, you go to sleep, you're thinking about it, and you wake up, you're still thinking about it. You dream about it. Last night I had a crazy dream. I was not stressed when I went to sleep last night and had a crazy dream. It was very stressful. And woke up and, oh, didn't know where that came from. But fear keeps us from thinking clearly as well. It clouds our vision. It doesn't allow us to think logically. So fear keeps us from having courage and trying something new. We all kind of like to settle down into our routines and everything, and then something happens, and, oh, we have to try something new. We have to do something new, and that's really hard. Fear keeps us from obeying what our Heavenly Father asks us to do. Have you ever had that where you're in the grocery store and God says, "See that person over there? I want you to go tell them this, or I want you to go pray for them." No, I'm in the grocery store. I have a lot to get done. I have somewhere else to be after this, and there's a lot of people around here. I don't think so, right? That's the kind of process that we have, but it really comes from a fear. Other people are going to be watching. So sometimes the fear keeps us from doing what our Heavenly Father is asking us to do. Fear keeps us from God's ultimate plan for our life, right? If we can't take those little steps along the way, we're afraid, then we'll never get to that ultimate destiny that God has. So fear keeps us from God's ultimate plan. And fear keeps us from God's blessing. Blessing comes about out of obedience. It comes out of all of this relationship with God. And if we don't have that, then the blessing can be kept from us. And so holding back from fear can keep God from pouring out that blessing that he wants to give you. Okay, so now, that's the yucky stuff. Let's talk about how do we fight fear. Because that's what we need to do, is fight fear. I had remembered that there was an Indian legend that kind of goes along this path. And I looked it up, and then I was really excited because I discovered it was a Cherokee legend. And both Ben and I have Cherokee ancestors. And so I guess it was Cherokee pride, I don't know. But so it says, in old Cherokee legend, a grandfather sat down to talk to his grandson about life. A fight is going on inside of me, he said to the boy. It's a terrible fight between two wolves. One is evil. He is anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, fear, false pride, and ego. He continued, the other is good. He is joy and peace and love and hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, truth, compassion, and faith. The same fight is going inside you too, grandson. It's the same fight inside of everybody. The grandson thought about it for a minute and then asked, but grandfather, which wolf will win? The old Cherokee simply replied, the one you feed the most. So what weapons do we have to fight fear? How can we not feed fear so that fear doesn't win? Okay, so the first thing, I'm going to give you a verse, Psalms 34:4. I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. So the first one is ask God to fight it for you. Amen. God did fight my fears of being alone when Ben traveled, and it came kind of to a head one night when I was so tired of being tired because I was up so late every night because of the fear that I'd get to work the next day and would be so tired. And I was tired of the whole process that the evening would take of staying up and doing things that I really didn't even want to do because I was just trying to fight the fear on my own terms. And one night I finally said, I've had enough. This is not how I'm supposed to live. This is not how God intended me to live. And I'm tired of this fear that comes over me. And so I said, God, please help me do this. And for some reason, I'd never really asked him for help. God, please help me overcome this. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm done. And that was kind of the breaking point where, yes, I still had to use some of these other tools that we're going to talk about, but asking God for help and being ready to fight it was the first step for me. And now, Ben was gone last night because he drove down to Virginia last night. Nothing. No fear. No worry. I was fine. And it's because of these tools and putting them in place and asking God for help. So the second one is identify where the fear comes from. Because I guarantee it's not from God. Because 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Right. And it also talks about a fear and timidity or shrinking back. And you kind of get this picture of someone cowering like this from the fear. So that's not from God. So the fear either comes from people, including ourselves, right? That kind of irrational fear in Uganda that I let happen that was irrational. Or it comes from our enemy, Satan, right? Because if he can get you to be afraid, he's got you.
Yeah.
He's got you. You're not going to have the courage to step out. You're not going to have the faith to believe that God can change your circumstances. And so identify where it comes from so that you know how to fight it. And one way that we can do that is quote and memorize scripture. So we see in Matthew 4, the temptation of Jesus. So Jesus gets led out into the desert by the Holy Spirit and Satan comes and tempts him. And what do we see Jesus do in that moment? We see him quote scripture.
Right.
Jesus is the Son of God. He is God. And he had to quote scripture. So yeah, we need to quote scripture, right? And if you have it memorized, then no matter where you are, at work, driving your car, out with friends, if something happens, you've got it. You're good. You don't need to carry around a big Bible in your purse or under your arm. You got it. So memorize the scriptures so that they're available to you when you really need them. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to read to you a verse that most of you have probably heard, and then we're going to break it down a little more to give us some more tools to fight. So it's Philippians 4, and I'm going to read verses 6 through 9. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. So if we break that down, we see the first part is, it's a command. Don't worry. So you have to make that choice. I'm not going to worry because God's telling me not to worry. That's kind of the hardest part. But so then pray. Spend time alone with God where you tell him what is overwhelming you, where you allow him to hear what's going on, and you have a chance to tell God all your emotions, all your feelings, what's going on, because we need that release, right? We need, sometimes you don't even have a person to tell it to. God's always there. The next one is thanksgiving. Psalm 69:30 says, then I will praise God's name with singing, and I will honor, which also means magnify or make him bigger, with thanksgiving. So when we start thanking God, it makes God bigger. And so that fear becomes smaller because God is bigger. And I'll tell you, sometimes my thanksgiving is not very good because it's, okay, well, I think I'm supposed to be glad that I woke up this morning and that I'm breathing and that I have a house and that I have clothes to put on my body and I have warm water to take a shower. Sometimes it starts there. But every time that I do this, every time I make a point to start here when I'm afraid or when I'm overwhelmed, it rapidly changes into something completely different. Where all of a sudden my spirit gets engaged and I start, oh God, thank you for being so good. The times that I failed you, the times that I deserved death, the times that I sinned and outright just decided I didn't want to do what you asked me to do. Thank you for all the, you know, and it goes on and on and on. And right. My whole emotional experience changes into something completely different and something wonderful. Thanksgiving is powerful. And that's why I do like this month of Thanksgiving, because it's kind of a set in time once a year that you can really spend some time thinking about what God has done for you. Okay, the next one would be think on good things. I think a lot of people read the first couple of verses and stop there. But the next thing is think about good things. Choose to think about things that make you happy. You can start with things that God's done for you. You can start with cute puppies and kitties. I don't know. Think of something good that makes you smile, that makes you feel lighter. Remember maybe a gift someone gave you that was a surprise, or it can be anything, but start along with the Thanksgiving. Think about good things. Think about the sunset, whatever it is. And the original Greek of this talks about counting, calculating, and counting over and over and over good things, honorable things, right things. So, and then the last one, Paul talks about putting into practice. Keep practicing your weapons, yeah. Right? If you're going to be good at something, you can't just stick it in your closet or your basement and leave it there. Practice with your weapons. Use them on a daily basis. Okay, so I want to move on from the Philippians verse and talk about the next one, which is increase your faith. And let me give you a definition for faith in this instance. An absolute belief that God is constantly working behind the scenes in every area of our lives, even when there is no evidence to support that fact. So I'm going to read it again. Faith is an absolute belief that God is constantly working behind the scenes in every area of your life, even when there is no evidence to support that fact. So we want to increase that. I mean, how great would that be if you always have an awareness of, not, I can't see it, but I know God's doing it. So we need to increase our faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Be certain of what we do not see." Taking the truth from the Bible and believing it and making it a foundation for you. Galatians 5:22 says that faith is something the Holy Spirit puts in us. He grows in us. Ask the Holy Spirit for more faith. It works.
Yeah.
It works. Now, Romans 10:17 says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Read your Bible. Memorize your Bible. It's going to build that faith up in you. So the next one is trust in your Heavenly Father. In my own life, I think I've begun to realize that the opposite of fear for me is not trusting God. That when I don't trust that He really cares for me, or that He really has a plan for me, or that He really is working behind the scenes, or that I don't trust that He's big enough to fix something, or that He cares to fix something, when I have that lack of trust in God, that's when fear begins to really overwhelm me. But Psalms 56:3 said, "But when I am afraid, I will trust in you." Isaiah 26:3 said, "You keep in perfect peace all those who trust you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you." 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Give or cast all your fears on God, and He cares for you." And when I read this time, I got this really funny picture. Have you ever seen anyone who doesn't like spiders suddenly realize that they have a spider on them? Right? And so I got that picture in my head when I was thinking about casting and throwing our fears at God, this like avulsion to, "Oh my gosh, get it off me. Oh God, you take it." That's what I think God wants us to do, right? This gut reaction of, "Get it away from me. It's not what I'm supposed to have on me. It might bite me." And so I don't even know where that came from this time. I've read that verse so many times, and we even had a song growing up that we sang over and over again about casting your cares. I never had the spider idea. And Jeremiah 17 verses 7 and 8 says, "But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit." God is our source. Trust Him.
Amen.
The last one, as a tool that I want to talk about, is getting help from others. Sometimes, because we're human and we like to have other humans, which is a good thing. God created us for relationship, right? Sometimes we need that extra push from somebody, someone that you can call and say, "Hey, I'm really struggling with this fear. Can you pray for me? Can you read a scripture for me? I need to hear it from something other than my own voice." It's okay to do that. God wants you to do that. God wants you to have that honest and open relationship with other people too, so that we can support each other, encourage each other. Someone that when they see you on a Sunday, they can go, "How are you doing? How was this week? Were you able to handle the fear, or did it overcome you? What can I do to help? How can I pray for you this week?" Get help if you need it. Okay, so I have overcome my fears in a lot of ways. The financial thing, we had something that came up a couple weeks ago where we had a thing from the, what is it called here? Maryland something something taxes. I don't know, but it was something for 2012 or something like that, and saying that we owed over $1,000 from 2012. And this is now 2015, and they're contacting us about it. And no, my first reaction was that, "Oh, we don't have $1,000. We can't." And before that would have consumed me. I mean, you can ask Ben. He knows. He's gotten phone calls while he's on the road. I can't. I don't know where this is going to come from. But so my first reaction was that fear. But then I thought, wait a minute. Who is my source? Who has over and over and over and over and over again proved that he is my provider? It doesn't matter what the state of Maryland says. God is my provider. And he has proven that so many times I can't even count. That month that we had to make those phone calls and tell them we couldn't pay, the next month, we paid the next month and the month before, and our income did not change. I, to this day, don't know where it came from and how that happened, but that's God. And so, actually, my response this time after the, oh, I feel like you get hit in the gut was, God, forgive me for that reaction. Why wasn't my reaction, yay, a chance for God to prove that he's really cool and mighty today, right? And so I actually this time repented for not trusting him in that moment. And God, of course, was like, that's fine. Look how you've grown. Before that would have been days or weeks of agony and frustration and fear over what was going to happen. And that was like 2 minutes. You moved on. Good job. He was actually proud of me.
And what happened?
We called our accountant. Ben did more work. And the accountant sent in some paperwork and said that we at most really only owed them $100. And so we just sent a check in, and then now we got another letter saying, we're reviewing the records, but due to a lot of volume, it will be a while before you hear back from us. So, but God took care of it. We could do the $100. Okay, so the last point that I want to talk about is your relationship with your Heavenly Father. And I was reading a couple weeks ago a verse, and it's something I've read so many times again. Isn't it amazing how you can read something so many times, and it's like it goes off in fireworks. You get it. And this one is Luke 12:21, and this is the one that you, or where it talks about the lilies of the field and all of that. It's such a beautiful picture. But I want to start further back in Luke 12, verse 16. And it says, then he, Jesus, told them a story. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, what should I do? I don't have room for all my crops. And then he said, I know. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and say to myself, my friend, you have stored away for years to come. Now take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool. You will die this very night, then who will get everything you worked for? And this is the part I want you to listen to. Jesus is saying, yes, a person is a fool to not store up earthly wealth, to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God. Then he turned to his disciples and said, that is why I tell you, don't worry. It's a flow from a relationship with God, a rich relationship with God, into the don't worry.
Yeah,
there's a connection.
Mm-hmm.
So more recently, as I have really been trying to do this, like I decided I'm really going to work on this. And I discovered that I would get this, and I would tell Ben, and I would ask him to pray for me, and I was really bugging me because I would be going about my business, and then I would feel this like heaviness and this anxiousness, and it would feel so strong, and I would pray, and God would take it away, or I'd have Ben pray for me, and then it would go away. And this week I was praying because it happened again. I was like, God, why does it feel so much stronger? And it doesn't usually last long, and I use my weapons, but it feels really intense, and I don't feel like I remember it being intense. And the Holy Spirit said to me, it's because you have been working hard on getting my peace and my grace and my joy. You've been spending more time in my presence. You've been spending more time on my word. And so the contrast is bigger. And so what you're feeling is not actually that the anxiety is more But you are now living more in peace and joy. And so again, it was like, good job, daughter. You're doing it. You're making progress. It's been a long time. It's been years, but you're getting there. So I still have work to do. But God has proven to me over and over again, whether it was the illness, you know, being afraid in Uganda, or being afraid in my home by myself, or being afraid of finances or other things that pop up, God's got me. But I've got to trust in Him. So I want to read one last verse. And this is Psalms chapter 27. It says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. So why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger. So why should I tremble? When evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though a mighty army surround me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I am attacked, I will remain confident. The one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." Delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in His temple. For He will conceal me there when troubles come. He will hide me in His sanctuary. He will place me out of reach on a high rock. Then I will hold my head high above my enemies who surround me. At His sanctuary I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy, singing and praising the Lord with music. Hear me as I pray, O Lord. Be merciful and answer me. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. My heart responds, Lord, I am coming. You know, asking God for forgiveness for your sins and having that moment where you feel that clean hope for your future, you feel the pressure released from your shoulders, is the beginning of God calling you away from Adam's image of sin and fear and calling you back to God's image. The image that we were initially created to live in. The image without sin, the image without fear, where we live ultimately in heaven in perfect peace and perfect joy and perfect harmony with everyone around us, that hope that we have for the future. But a taste of that, a big portion of that, can be available to all of you with God's help. God wants to come and erase your fears, your worries, your anxiety. He doesn't want you to go to sleep at night afraid of what next morning is going to look like. He doesn't want you afraid of, I just lost my job, it's over. He doesn't want you to be afraid of the sickness in the world. He wants you to be confident. He wants you to trust Him. He wants to hear you, for you to hear Him say, come and talk with me. And He wants your automatic response to be in return, Lord, I'm coming. Let me be in your presence. Let me sing praises. Let you be big in my life so that all this stuff is little. Why don't you all stand up with me? And close your eyes, and I want to give everyone a chance to respond in this night to what God is saying to you, because each of us have our own fears and worries because of the circumstances in our lives or a lot of different reasons. But God is powerful and big, and He can conquer all those fears, and He can help you conquer them. And so whatever that fear or fears are, no matter how many of them there are, God is capable. He is capable of taking them away, and He's capable of helping you fight. He's capable of helping you practice using those weapons and keeping those weapons sharp. And so if tonight the Holy Spirit has been talking to you, like that one night when I was alone and I decided it's enough, and Holy Spirit is saying to you, you're done. Tonight you are done. that fear or fears does not have a hold on you any longer if you allow me to step in. So that's you tonight. I want you to raise your hand as a declaration to God that that fear no longer has a hold on you and that you are ready to fight it so that you don't live in it anymore. God, I thank you for your word that brings assurance, that brings hope, that brings life in the darkest times.
Yes.
And God, I thank you that you do not want us to live in fear.
Yes.
God, that you have created us to live a victorious life, that you give us the ability to grasp a part of heaven, that you give us the ability to come before you and tell you our troubles, and then you take our troubles and replace it with peace and joy. God, I just ask that you would break any hold that fear has over anyone in this church tonight.
Yes.
From the smallest child to the oldest person here, God, we declare that this church is yours and yours alone.
Yes.
And we declare that fear has no right, no right to interfere in what God has called us to do as a church, because it's not just about me and my fears. It's not just about every person here in their fears. It's about Baltimore. God, Baltimore needs us, and we cannot help Baltimore if we are fearful.
Yes.
But God, in the middle of life, it gets heavy, it gets hard, it gets overwhelming. And so, God, I pray that after tonight, when that fear comes, that you would bring scriptures to mind, that your Holy Spirit would rush to our side and give us the power to declare truth.
Yes.
Give us the power to remember the scriptures we have learned. Give us the power to hear your voice clearly and know that it is you. God, I pray for victory when it comes to fear, from the smallest fear to the one that makes our guts churn and our mind become a cycle of bad thinking. God, release us from fear and let us hear your peace and joy. Let us hear your voice. Well done, good and faithful servant. God, help us. Walk hand in hand with us. We cannot do this without you. Thank you that your grace is there. And though we stumble over and over again, your forgiveness is quick to run to our side. God, I pray for a peaceful week this week. God, when people get to work, when they are at home, no matter where they are, God, when fear comes up, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would rush in and bring, like a mighty wind, a sense of peace and assurance that our God reigns. We give you the glory tonight, because we know that you are going to be honored in this. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you would like more prayer for this, I would love to pray with you about it. And in the future, if you ever want to talk more about specifics, or I would love to talk to you about it. And I know Ben would too. So you are dismissed. There are refreshments over here. I'm so glad that we are a family. I love that you love to spend time with each other. Parents, don't forget to take up your kids from downstairs. I love you guys. And I have already been praying for weeks now and will continue to do so, that you conquer your fears with God's help.
Awesome.
Love you guys. Have a good week.